different voices, because we live in a world, unlike earlier times. There were times when there was no radio, there was no television, there were no computers, there were not smartphones, but now we have all of that. And there are voices that are calling to us all the time, 24 hours a day. When I was a little boy at 10:30 or 11 o'clock, I can't remember which one it was, but every TV screen in America said what? Because there was nothing else on. That was it for the night. Go to bed, you guys. Get some sleep. I want to tell you, today, you can hear different voices literally everywhere, telling you things the exact opposite of what our God says. Lincoln Riley, some of you know the name, she's taken a stand. The voices she's fighting against are saying that men who say they're women ought to be able to play sports against girls. And she's taken a strong stand that no, men that are claiming to be women are still men, and it's still not fair. It's not fair for a girl to have to compete against a guy in basketball, volleyball, or anything else. It's just not fair. Men are made different than women, and women are made different than men. They shouldn't be in their locker rooms. They shouldn't be in their bathrooms. Even if they think they're a woman, they're still a man. And so we need to listen to our Lord, what he says, and then have the courage to stand up for the truth. In John chapter 10, verse 1, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They'll come in and they'll go out and they'll find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand, and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Remember as a small child hearing your dad and mom say, "Now, Jerry, don't talk to strangers and don't take anything from them." Why did moms and dads do that? And why did you do that to your own children? I told my children when they were little teeny, "You don't take anything from a stranger ever, and you don't talk to strangers." Why do we do that? Because little children can't discern who wants to bless them and who wants to hurt them. A person who offers a little child a candy bar may just like little kids and want to give them a candy bar, and that's super fine. But he may, on the other hand, have a different plan in mind. He may put something in that candy bar to harm the child, and how do they know? That's one reason when we used to take our children trick-or-treating, we always took them only to homes that we knew. Why? Because we don't know what a stranger's going to give them. And so, number one, you don't talk to strangers. Number two, you don't take anything from them because they may harm you. It's so important we understand that, because if we don't understand that and we don't protect our children, they're going to get hurt. So I want to talk to you tonight about listening to strangers' voices. There are so many voices in this world, and they're saying so many different things. They can't all be for your good. And so we have to learn the Lord's voice, and we have to learn to listen to it, and every voice that speaks contrary to what God has told us in His Word, we have to reject as a lie. So many people say, we got to stay open-minded. We got to be open-minded. And the Lord says, no, close your mind. Trust me, and anything contrary to that, don't you trust it for 1 minute. It's a lie. Rat poison. Anybody know what percent of rat poison is good food and what percent is poison? There's 98% good grain in every rat poison you'll ever buy. The rats just love it. But they don't know there's 2% poison. And so if somebody comes close to telling you the same thing the Lord said, I mean, 98%, they're right. What about the 2%? Do you understand it can kill you? It can wind you up in a lake of fire? There are a lot of churches that preach about 98% of what we do. But they're teaching 2% that'll wind you up in the lake of fire. When somebody tells you, and some of the churches in our area are teaching this, you don't need to worry about receiving Christ the Savior. You need to keep our rules. If you keep our rules, you're going to be just fine. Folks, that's a lie from the devil, and you better be able to identify that. I had one friend, he was a black man, a Christian man, that I worked in the shop with, and he was a deacon in the church. He went to his pastor and said, Pastor, I don't think I should stay on the deacon board. And the pastor said, well, why not? He says, I'm living with a gal that's not my wife. And the pastor said, don't you worry about that one bit. You just keep tithing, everything's going to be fine. Folks, that's not a voice from God. I don't care if he's your pastor. That's not right. And I warned that man, he has to get out of there. That man is teaching a lie. Now, obviously, he ought to quit living in adultery too. But you don't go to a church where your pastor's telling you, you can live any way you want to as long as you keep giving to the church. Folks, that's not right, and we need to be careful with those things. God says it's a very important part of my job to instruct you about God's voice so that you follow what God says. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then you'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and the blowing here and there, by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, will grow to become like him in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so what the Lord wants me to do as your pastor is to teach you how to know the Word of God and how to obey the Word of God. How to know a stranger's voice. It may be Satan himself. It may be a demon. It may be a beautiful girl that's telling you how handsome you are and we ought to go to bed together. Or a handsome guy that says, hey, you want to go for a ride in my Corvette? Stop over to my apartment. We'll just talk a while. Folks, you've got to be able to identify the voices, because this world and Satan wants to lead you astray. Satan does not want you, number one, knowing the voice of God, and he doesn't want you, number two, obeying the voice of God. Strange voices. I want to take you back to a time at the beginning of time when the first strange voice came across. We find the story in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You'll not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Folks, it wasn't that Adam and Eve didn't know what God said. Now, Eve did add a little bit to it. But no matter how much you add to it, you still have to obey the basic truth that you do know. It may take you a while as a young Christian to really know exactly what God has said. But she did say, God said, you must not eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. The day you do, you're going to die. If we believe God, what he says, it's going to affect the way we live. But if we doubt God and we doubt God's word, in other words, every Christian I know knows that the Bible claims to be the word of God. But when you read it, if you have doubts about everything God says, you're a sitting duck. Satan's going to pick you off. You have to become firmly convinced in your own mind that this book, the Bible as we have it, I don't care if it's NIV or New King James or King James or Standard American Version, it's the Word of God. Once you understand that, you have God's voice speaking to you. And then beyond that, you have the Holy Spirit speaking into your life. And beyond that, you have mom and dad, if they are Christians, grandpa and grandma, if they are Christians, speaking into your life the Word of God. And now you've got a chance to really walk with God. But if you have doubts, and that's what Eve had the feeling God was holding out. She believed a stranger's voice. How much had God given Adam and Eve in that garden? Everything. They were never going to get sick. They were never going to die. They had everything they needed. They had work that was pleasing to them and fruitful. But Eve thought there's one thing God's holding out. If you've got grandchildren, I'll just give you this little chore to try. Set that child in the middle of a room with toys all around. Sally, you can play with any toy in here, but this toy here, I don't want you to touch it. And then you go out of the room. Where's Sally going? First thing. Hate to tell you that, but first thing. Why can't I touch that one? All the other toys are interesting, but Grandma said I can't. We don't like that, do we? We think everything ought to be good for us, but not everything is good for us. And as we mature in our faith, we begin to understand. Not everything that looks good is good. Not everything that tastes good is good. The rat really thinks rat poison tastes just perfect. But there's a warning on the wrapper that rat can't read. Poison! Be careful! Folks, we can read. Most of us can read the scriptures for ourselves. We can learn exactly what God has said, exactly what Satan tries to say, and we can start to differentiate between the two. The more you grow in your faith, the easier it is for you to identify a false voice. There are preachers all around us, preaching things they ought not to be preaching. You need to be able to identify that. If you can't identify that, you're heading for trouble. because not every message is true. In Genesis chapter 3 again, Eve knew exactly what God had said. Now, again, she added a little bit to it, but she knew the basics. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden." But God did say, "You must not eat fruit from the trees in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." There's nothing wrong with not touching it. There's nothing wrong with a little add-on, but there is something wrong when the basic premise is you must not eat it. The day you eat it, you'll surely die, that you begin to doubt that. The problem with us is we're always wondering, is there something more that God's holding out? What you do know is true. Simply do that. Don't second guess it. Eve knew, but the serpent said to Eve, "You'll not surely die." The serpent came as an angel of light. And that's exactly the way Satan comes to us. God's holding out. Let me tell you the truth. And then he tells you a whopper of a lie. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12, "And I will keep on doing what I'm doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as the servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve." And so what the Lord is saying here is that Satan and all of his emissaries come as angels of light. But they're telling you deception. Very clearly, it says in Genesis 2:15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die.'" Where was Eve when God told Adam that? She may not have been created yet. We don't know the time exactly. But she knew if Adam told her, she knew exactly what God had said. But Eve didn't believe exactly what God said. One of the hardest things for a Christian, it was hard for me getting started, to really say in my heart, "I believe with all my heart this Bible is God's Word. I've come to the conclusion that anything contrary to this is wrong." That's hard to get to that point. But once you do, the Christian walk becomes very easy. I'm simply going to do what God said. When I fall short, and I do sometimes, I'm simply going to confess it quickly, I'm going to repent, and the Lord's going to take it away. But folks, you must come to a point where you believe what God says. When God calls something sin, and you call it fun, what's wrong? You're not believing God. And so it's very important we come to that point, because many Christians never get there. Many Christians still want to run their own life. They still doubt what God says about things. If God calls it sin, guess what it is? It's sin, no matter what you think. And the sin is going to be the thing that's going to send people to the lake of fire. We all sin, but we don't all practice sin. In other words, I'm not doing the same sin over and over and over, year after year after year. If you do, if you can keep on doing exactly what you know is wrong, Jesus says to you, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say?" Folks, it's so important you understand that. In Genesis 3, verse 1, again, "The serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made." What does it mean to be crafty? He's conniving. He knows how to twist things. He's a crafty type of a person. He says, "The serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Eve thought God's holding out. God was not holding out. The wisdom of the world is not a good thing to learn. The wisdom of the world is going to lead you astray. In other words, young kids will say, the best thing I want to do is what the adults do. The adults do what? The adults drink alcohol, whiskey, beer, whatever. Is that a good thing for people, really? How much harm has it caused over the years? How many marriages has it destroyed? How many lives? How many people have died? A teenager, their friends say, man, I got high last night on drugs. It was the greatest trip I ever had. You got to try this. Is that a good thing? That's a terrible thing. I think they said yesterday, I heard it on the news, 185,000 people in America died last year using fentanyl. Folks, that's not good. Satan will tell you through your friends, this is the best high I ever had. But you take just too much of it, and guess what? You are dead. Folks, I remember as a little boy thinking the thing I wanted to do was smoke like my dad. I couldn't wait till I got old enough, and I used to find cigarette butts. I used to go up on the corner, up on the highway by our house, and I was selling fruit because my older brothers were all home picking fruit, and I was down there selling it. I would find a cigarette butt on the ground, pick up somebody else's cigarette butt, and light her up because that made me feel like an adult. Was that a good thing? Yeah, that's a terrible thing. My dad died from that. My older brother died from that. There has to come a point where we say, God says if you destroy your body, God's going to destroy you. There has to come a point in your life when you say, getting drunk, doing drugs, having extramarital sex, it's all wrong. God's not holding out. God did not hold out from Adam and Eve. He gave them everything they needed, more than they needed, and everything was going to stay good. But they disobeyed anyhow because they didn't believe the word of God. Why do you and I sin occasionally? Hopefully it's not continually. That's not good. But if it's occasionally, we do it because we doubt God's word. We do it because we think he's holding out. Folks, we have to be careful here because God holds out from nobody. In fact, in Psalm 84, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor, and here's the most important part. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. God is not holding out on you when he says, no sex before marriage. Why? Because sex was made only for marriage, so that when she does get pregnant, guess what? This little baby is going to have a mommy that loves the Lord and a daddy that loves the Lord. Because God created marriage to have godly offspring. That's why marriage was given in the first place. And when we don't wait on the Lord, we rob ourselves. Satan wants to rob us of what God wants to bless us with. Blessings for obedience, we get from the Word of God, and discipline for disobedience, we find in the Word of God. In order to obey God, we must believe that God is true to His Word. We disobey when we begin to doubt. God is able to bring both His promises of blessing for obedience and discipline for disobedience, and He always will. You reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction. If you flow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. The choice is yours and mine. In Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us why Eve disobeyed and why we disobey sometimes. Without faith, faith is simply what? Believing what God has said. That's all it is. Without faith, It's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God or to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Do you believe the best rewards in life are from your diligently seeking God? Or do you believe that your best rewards in life are when you can sneak around and do things God says not to do? Eve really came to the point where she thought it was better to disobey than to obey. And we come to that same point sometimes. I want to encourage you, trust the Lord. He warns us here in James chapter 1, verse 16. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Eve knew the word of the Lord, but she didn't believe the word of the Lord. And it was impossible for her to please God. The real danger came and the real destruction came when Adam, who absolutely knew the word of God, chose to disobey too. Why did Adam disobey? Eve, we know, was deceived. She was deceived, she doubted, and she got deceived. But why did Adam disobey? He knew exactly what God said, because he put somebody as more important than his relationship to his Lord. Eve was more important to him than God was. Folks, you don't dare let anybody become more important to you than God is, because then you have a God with a little g. It can be your wife, it can be your husband, it can be your boss at work. When you know you ought to be in church at least some of the time, and your boss says, I need you every single day, I can't get by without you, what do you have to say? Sorry, boss. I really need to get to church sometime. I really need to be fed. I need to be busy serving others in a local church. I'm going to obey God. It may cost you your job. It may cost you a relationship. What would God have done if Adam had chosen not to sin and follow Eve? He would have created Sally or Sue or whoever, and Adam could have went on, and we wouldn't all be plunged into sin. Eve was not the head of the family. Adam was. Adam was the head of the human race. And when Adam sinned, knowing exactly what God had said, he plunged all of us into having a sin nature. Disobedience brings discipline. And we're still paying the price, not just Adam and Eve. We think as adults, sometimes when I sin, it's just me. God's going to deal with me. What did the Lord tell David about his sin with Bathsheba? He said, you will never have peace in your family again. And he never did. It affected his children. One of his sons raped one of his granddaughters. Folks, it's amazing how your sin passes around. We need to really be careful. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside onto myth. Folks, if there's ever been a time in our nation's history when that's true, it's true today. People chase after people that are telling them all kinds of lies, and they won't listen to sound doctrine. When I and Dave go calling and we tell people they're going to different churches that are teaching different ways of salvation, and we tell them the truth, what's the response? Well, that's not what my church teaches. Could it be your church is telling you a lie? It could be. I would dare say, of all the churches that I know, there's only about a quarter of all the churches that I know that are teaching the truth of God's word. Many people are going to churches and they're being taught, if you get baptized, you're saved. Folks, that's a lie. That's not true. I got baptized twice. The first time, I was not saved. I went after a free Bible. If you got baptized in the sixth grade, you got a free Bible. That was good. I've always liked free. But it didn't do me one bit of good. When I got baptized the second time at 25 years of age, I was a believer. And I knew when I stepped into that water, that meant I'm dying to myself, I'm raising for God's glory. That's what I wanted. And that baptism took. But it didn't save me. It was done out of obedience to the Lord's command. We're saved one way and one way only. Personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything else anybody tells you is not according to God's word. And so many, many people are being led astray. Every day on television, there are 1,000 different voices saying 1,000 different things. You go on your computer, you go on your phone, there are people telling you all kinds of different things. If you don't know the Word of God, you're not going to recognize the difference. That's why it's so important for us to study the Word of God. Because when we know the Word of God, we know the voice of God. And anything contrary to that, we're going to say, that's wrong. The Bible tells us we are not to learn things that are constantly wrong. That's one of the reasons I've warned you before, and I'll warn you again. If your children or grandchildren are going to public schools right now, they're being taught all kinds of things that are definitely wrong. They're pushing second and third and fourth graders to change sex. Folks, that's ridiculous. But they're pushing it now. They're pushing children to not obey their parents. In fact, the teachers and the schools are lying to parents, not even telling them what they're teaching the children anymore. You need to know that. Your grandchildren are being taught they were not created by God. They evolved. They're a cosmic accident, and so is everybody else. They're being taught life has no meaning. And we wonder why they're so goofed up. We got to get back to the Word of God in 2 Timothy 4:10. He says, Demas was one of the early followers of Christ. He was a godly man for a little while. But it says, Demas, because he's loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Folks, the Lord warns us, do not love this present world. Don't love the ways of this world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. When he says that, he's not talking about don't love the trees, don't love the beauty of the Grand Canyon. He's not talking about that part of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And now he tells us what the world he's warning us about. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires passes away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. You can love this world as far as the trees and the animals and all the good things, but you don't want to get involved with the other thing, the lust of the flesh. What is the lust of the flesh? Woody Allen said the flesh wants what the flesh wants. Doesn't matter what God says. I want what I want. If I want that tree that's forbidden, I'm just going to take it. Doesn't matter what God says. And that's why they have premarital sex and all kinds of other things going on. Homosexuality, all that stuff is lust of the flesh. And then the lust of the eyes. The eye wants what the eye sees. We all know some things are not good for us, but we just keep on doing it. And the Lord says, you're going to pay a terrible price for that. The Bible says, he that's often reproved, but hardens his heart, falls into trouble. Folks, and some of that trouble can't be undone. My dad knew, at least for 30 years before he died, that smoking was going to kill him. My older brother knew exactly the same thing, but they just kept on going. Folks, once you know the truth, if you obey the truth, it'll set you free. If you don't obey the truth, it's still going to come true, and you're going to pay the price. You want to come to that point where you confess, Lord, you said what I'm doing is wrong. Lord, you promised me you'd give me the way of escape. Show me the way to quit. Show me the way to change course. I don't want to be in rebellion. I want to do your will. When you ask for that, he'll always show you the way of escape. There is a way of escape from any habit anybody has. People tell me I just can't quit. Paul said I can do what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ can give you that strength. You just have to want it. Our Lord warns about Satan and his deceptions in John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I've come here from God. I've not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies. Who was Jesus talking to when he said that? Pharisees, very religious people. All of us know people that are very religious, but they don't know God. They know about God, but they have not yet experienced a relationship, a living relationship, where he's Lord of their life. Once we hit that, things began to change. In John chapter 18, verse 37, it says, You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, You say I'm a king. In fact, for the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Reported Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews who gathered there, and he said, I find no basis of a charge against him. But it didn't matter, because he wanted to go along to get along. And he condemned God himself to death in the person of Jesus Christ because he honored men more than he honored God and his truth. Folks, you can do the same thing. You can put people's opinions above God's opinion. And when you do, you're heading for trouble. The Lord wants us to know that. Jesus had already told his disciples what the truth was. He said in John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And then in John 17, 17, he said, Sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is truth. Anything that goes against what Jesus said and what the word of God says is not the truth. I don't need to study the Quran upside, downwards, and backwards. I've read it, and it says things that are exactly the opposite of what the Word of God says. The Word of God says Jesus Christ is God's Son. The Quran says God has no Son. Which one's the truth? I'm going with the Bible. I believe exactly what the Bible said. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, it says, Well, evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants you to know the truth. You watch your television. You can watch it tonight. I'll almost guarantee you're going to see it. There's going to be a beer commercial. All the people that are in that group in those beer are young people in their early 30s and 40s. You're not going to see an 80-year-old guy in there. You're going to see young kids that are just having a blast together. But that's half the story. And that's what Satan does. He gives us half the story. They don't show you those young people on their way home from that party, drunker than a skunk, getting into an accident and killing their girlfriend. They don't show you that. They don't show the young man or the young woman that got drunk and got into a sexual thing and went home and beat up their wife or their children. But that's what happened. I tell people all the time, if you've got young children, one of the things you must do with them is take them to the rescue mission. They must see what happens to people's lives when they just simply do what they want to do. It's shipwreck. It ruins everything. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. That's the job of us as parents and grandparents, to warn our children. God has said, honey, you shouldn't lie. Now, you just lied to your brother or whatever. Honey, you've got to learn this. You've got to believe it's not good to lie. It's a hard lesson to learn. The Word of God in Hebrews 4, verse 1 says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to fall short of it. For we've also had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. Jesus took the Israelites to the promised land, and he said, it's time to go in. I'll help you. You're going to win this. No problem. Two people believed him, Caleb and Joshua. What did all the other people, all the spies, he sent 12 spies, two said, let's go in. We can handle this. God's for us. What did the other 10 spies say? We can't do it. They got giants there. There's walled cities. We can't do it. And they were right. They couldn't do it, but God could. But they didn't believe him. And so that whole generation, all the men 20 years or older, every one of them died in the desert. They could have been in a land flowing with milk and honey, but they wouldn't believe God. God wants you to believe him, because he's got a land far better than Israel in mind for you. We're going to go to a place, if you believe God, that's perfect. It's going to be perfect for all eternity. You and I are going to have perfect health forever. We're not going to age. We're going to be walking in harmony with one another and with God. I don't know why people would turn it down. It's the best offer anybody's ever offered. And it's free. It didn't cost me a penny. It's just unbelievable to me. People won't believe it. In Titus chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Folks, Paul did the same thing we're trying to do today, to instruct people in the truth so that you can have eternal life and a blessed life right now. You are not going to get through this world like some pastors try to tell you. If you just do what I tell you to do, you're going to have the best life ever. Everything's going to go your way. No, it's not. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have what? You're going to have trouble. I don't care how close you walk to the Lord. You're going to have trouble. This is a tough life. It's been a good life, but it's tough. The whole world tries to work against the things of God. In Jeremiah 15, verse 16, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. Before I became a Christian, I tried to study the Word of God, but I couldn't figure it out. I just couldn't get it together. As soon as I received Christ, I began to really understand what God was saying. There has to come that choice in our life when we get hungry for the things of God. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want to see everybody here get hungry. In Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. When a teenager goes to a party, And they're saying, come on, have a drink. And the teenager says, what's in it? And they say, alcohol's in it. What should a young teenager say? No, thank you. I'm just here to enjoy the time together. I do not want that. But so often we don't say that. I seek you with all my heart. If a teenager is really seeking God with all their heart, it's easy to say no. But when you want to please the crowd, man, it's tough to say no. Even though you know it's wrong, you want to be with the group and you want to do what they're doing. Do not let me stray from your command. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let me just ask you this. How long has it been since you hid the word of God in your heart? If there are areas of your life that you're struggling with, as you read the word of God and you come across something that clearly points out the trouble that will cause you, those are the verses you need to memorize. You need to hide them in your heart, and then you need to heed them. And when you do, guess what? You're going to become more than an overcomer. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come so they may have life and have it to the full. The best life that a Christian can possibly live is lived in obedience to God's word. You can't do better than that, folks. When you submit to God and you live your life the way God tells you to live it, you're going to get the best of everything. It may not be everything you want. You may still think, those guys are having a whale of a time. But just watch them for a while. When I was in Army Reserves, every summer we were getting wilder and wilder. We were getting drunk more and more and more. The guys were running around on their wives and cheating. And I knew pretty quick, I'm going to do the same thing they're doing. And that's when Christ stepped in and saved me. From that time on, I said, no, thank you. I'm not going with you to the strip joints. I'm not going with you to the bar. I'm not going to cheat on my wife. I'm going to live for God. And it literally made all the difference in my life. He'll do the same for you. But there has to come that point when you realize God's not holding out. One more time in Psalm 84:11. This is very important. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And now it comes to your choice. You can believe what God says and try your best to walk with him, and he'll give you the strength you need, or you can just do it your way. In Isaiah 30, verse 15, the Lord was saying to the children of Israel the same truth we just learned. This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. How about you? Do you want to walk through this life with God? Do you want his strength? Do you want his blessing? Again, you're not going to get everything you want. It doesn't work that way. Eventually in heaven, we will get everything we want, but not here and now. It's not because God's holding out. It's because God really, as any good parent, knows what's best for their children. We have to trust him. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're grateful for the warnings we find there. We ask you, Lord, for the strength to walk through this life with you. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise now in Jesus' holy name. Amen.